A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
On today's episode, we welcome Kyle Benson to the show. Kyle shares common unhealthy patterns that couples find themselves in, and he gives us solutions to managing and overcoming these challenges based on Gottman methods and the work of Dr. Sue Johnson. He even gives some guidance as to what even one person can do in their marriage to help things get back on track. Kyle is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Washington State who focuses on emotionally focused couples therapy. The group practice he's part of is called Healing Moments Counseling. Kyle studies how partners in healthy relationships intentionally talk to each other, have passionate sex, and stay emotionally connected, so together they can uncover the tools and perspectives that can make love last. His work has been featured in dozens of major media channels, including the Gottman Institute, Business Insider, U.S. News, the Chicago Tribune, the Huffington Post, and many more. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm psychologist Dr. Liz Hale, along with the professor, the esteemed Dr. Dave Schramm. And together we have dedicated our life's work to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. I'm really thrilled today, Dave, to welcome Kyle Benson. I have followed Kyle for a long time. If you want to know a man, a voice of reason and wisdom and insight, it will be Kyle Benson. I'm so impressive. He was just telling me that on his email list, which is what I follow, there are 35,000 of us. And I think listeners are really going to want to pay attention to him, and they'll see why after our interview today. Kyle, welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Really kind of you to continue to give and give and give. I think you're just going to give till you're all worn out, right? That's my impression of you, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. Yeah.
That's how you see it. Well, you offer the ideal marriage therapy to couples, in my opinion. You've thoroughly studied the two best known scientifically based therapies that we have. Mm-hmm. Dr. John Gottman, who can predict divorce with over 94% accuracy. Amazing. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Sue Johnson's emotionally focused couples therapy. And you probably also love some other theories as well, but those are the two that we admire right off the bat. But would you kindly share with us an example, Kyle, of how you've helped a couple turn their marriage around by using the best of these two approaches? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, so I think the main thing that comes up is both these models, both their approaches are designed to help couples foster effective and secure communication strategies. And so Gottman's research, which comes from so much observational of seeing couples, kind of couples that he called the masters, what they do well, right? How they maintain satisfaction, how they keep their relationship strong. He was able to take that and from the couples who were struggling and give them tools to start to do that differently. Whereas emotionally focused couples therapy looks a little bit more kind of the process and the dynamic between them and how do we create a secure relationship. And so when I'm working with couples, what I look at is I start to look at what is that dynamic that's showing up currently that keeps them stuck in the relationship. And so from emotionally focused couples therapy, that is the pattern or the cycle. And so an example would be, you know, a very typical one is like one partner is kind of pursuing connection and wanting security in the relationship, but they're doing that with a kind of criticism, right? From Gottman world, right? I'm coming at you. You're lazy. You're not showing up. You don't even care about me. What's wrong with you? And then the other partner is just kind of trying to really please their partner, but it ends up kind of shutting down and withdrawing, right? And so they're kind of avoiding it. And every time they get in this dynamic where they feel disconnection, that pursuing partner is going to pursue a little bit more with criticism. The withdrawing partner is going to pull away. And the more the partner pulls away, the more critical the partner gets, the more critical they get, the more withdrawn and stonewalling they get. And so this pattern is really destructive to the relationship. And so in the work, We're looking at how that dynamic shows up, and we slow that way down, right? When I'm pursuing, I'm coming from a place of really fearful that I don't matter to you. And so it's so much easier for me to be critical and poke at what you're doing wrong than let you see my vulnerable fear, right? And so we actually have them express that softer startup, that softer expression in the session. And then it allows the withdrawing partner to start to look at, oh, wow, that's a little different than how I've been experiencing you. And so I can move a little bit closer to that. And the same with the withdrawing partner. Underneath withdrawal is always a form of protection. I'm trying to protect myself from criticism, or I'm trying to protect our relationship from having escalating conflict, which I don't know what to do with. And so my best move is to not engage. My best move is to pull away in hopes that this settles down and we can come back to connection. And when that withdrawing partner can express that in a really vulnerable way, the other partner gets a kind of a reframe of like, oh, they actually are caring about me. It's just not in the way that I imagined. And that then starts to create an alliance that then we start to build and create security between them. And as they express that more and more in the relationship, then I start to lean in more in Gottman, right? We start looking at having a state of the union meeting where they can enhance their relationship and they sit down and go, you know, here's what I love about you. Here's what I appreciate about you. Here's what's gone so well in our relationship. And what do we need to team up against this week that might be a challenge? And they talk about how they can do it differently together. And so that's kind of how I incorporate is really getting them to see this pattern as the problem so they can have safety to take vulnerable risk. And then the powerful structure of Gottman method that they can continue to use in their relationship for the long term that maintains that security and safety. Does that make sense?
So both partners really feel afraid then, right? Yes. Is that fair to say? One is afraid of being abandoned, I guess. And one is afraid of they're going to be attacked.
Not enough. No matter what they do, it won't be enough.
Won't be enough.
Mm-hmm. And so they have all these strategies to try to, that comes from this fear, all these strategies to try to get the reassurance they want. But ironically, it blocks their partner from really understanding what's going on. And it just creates this perpetual pattern that keeps them more disconnected. And that's really kind of the heart of EFT therapy.
That's quite a cycle. So getting underneath it. So you really use these almost in tandem, it sounds like, the Gottman and the EFT.
Yeah, I mean, I love both approaches. I use a lot more EFT initially to really create kind of that alliance. And then Gottman for me is, the research is so powerful. And so it's really helpful to incorporate in terms of like helping people understand, like, for example, in the harsh startup, when someone's critical, Gottman's research shows that 94% of the time when we start with a harsh startup, it's going to end that way. It's not going to go positive, right? So I might bring that in of like, I see that you're really trying to get your partner to know you or really show up for you right now. And how you're doing it is actually causing them to shut down. Can we talk about that? Can we explore kind of what's going on underneath that for you and maybe bring that to your partner? And so that's how I might incorporate it initially. But for me, it's also all the Gottman stuff about appreciating, about building love maps, going on date night, you know, all these very powerful tools Gottman, both John and Julie Gottman created to help couples maintain a sustainable relationship.
Very good. Is there a go-to question that you would sit down and ask just to kind of jumpstart for our listeners? Like, is there something they could use today to maybe stop this vicious cycle, this pattern, as you say, that could just help them take one step and go a little bit lower, just take the elevator down a floor? Is there a magical question we could ask our partner or ask ourselves?
I think this could go to Gottman, right? And I mean, Sue Johnson would probably agree. Underneath every criticism is a longing.
Yes.
What's the longing? What's that attachment longing that you're going for? Even the partner who's shutting down, they have an attachment longing. They have this wish that I wish things were calm so I would feel safe to engage and stay close to you.
Mm. Yeah. I love that attachment that you're bringing up. You know, we talk about attachment theory and with our graduate students here at Utah State University. And typically, often we think about attachment theory, you know, John Bowlby and attachment from parents to babies and caregivers. But this also extends into later adulthood, right? With this attachment, some of the issues, some of the struggles that the children, adolescents, and then adults experience. Can you tell us more about attachment needs and how these unmet attachment needs can trigger feelings of loneliness, of fear and hurt. And are there essential attachment questions, I guess, that you use that everyone should ask?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, you're so spot on, right? All this research started from looking at parents and children. And then later on, I think in the 80s, 90s, they started to look at how does this show up in adulthood? How does this show up in romantic relationships? And there's a plethora of research that looks at all these dynamics, and emotionally focused couples therapies, they use the lens of attachment theory to look at what causes relationship distress. And so really the big two questions that are always present from cradle to grave, as John Bowlby would call, is this, am I enough? Am I worthy of love and care? And then the other question is, can I depend on you? Are you there for me? And so those two questions are questions we ask throughout our lifetime. And when we're young, right, if we're having a tantrum and something's really difficult going on for us, we are going to look towards our caregivers to help us cope through that experience and guide us through how to navigate that. Now, if our caregiver kind of sees us as upset and goes, what's wrong? You know, how can I help you? You're really sad. Let's talk about that. Let me coach you through that experience. We get the message that we matter. We get the message that our parents are there for us. And then if we're that same kid having that same challenge, but our parent goes, you're just causing a big issue. What's wrong with you? We get the message, what's going on for us doesn't matter. And that our parent's not there for us. Right? Or we have a parent who just doesn't say anything. We get, again, the message, this clearly isn't an issue. So I better cope with this all alone. My best move is when something's painful for me is to cope with it all alone. So attachment theory, in essence, is our experiences tell us how to cope with difficult interactions and tension of whether we can go to people or not. And then we develop strategies to try to protect ourselves and keep us safe and secure. If we feel that we can go to people, we develop a much more secure attachment in adulthood. If we feel we can't, we develop these called secondary strategies that are more insecure and lead us to feel these bigger, deeper questions of I'm too much or I'm not enough. And therefore, I need to be on hypervigilant of any tension in the relationship and try to nip it in the butt, even if I'm pokey or critical. Or I need to withdraw anytime there's tension or I'm uncomfortable, because that's the best move, because there's no one who's going to really care about what I'm going through because I'm not enough. Does that make sense?
That's really powerful too.
Couples are the ones that bring in the attachment piece to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And are there like three? I mean, I'm not studying it. They're studying it somewhere because it was new to me to give this into an adult relationship, to apply this to adults. So what are the three areas? Insecure, secure?
Yeah. So there's four, technically, there's a lot more, but there's technically four styles that get the majority of the attention, which is secure. And then there's insecure, which has three different styles, which is anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, and then disorganized attachment. The important thing to understand is a lot of people look at that and go, I'm insecure, something's wrong with me, or I'm anxious, or I'm avoidant, something's wrong with me. The answer is no, there's nothing wrong with you. Those are strategies you've learned to survive. And at some point, those strategies were needed. The problem is that's meant something about who you are and what you are deserving of. And in the couples work, our job is to uncover that and create a new experience in emotionally focused couples therapy that gets you experience that you are loved, you are enough, and you do matter.
Wow. How would people decide which one they are, Kyle? Is there a test they can take?
So there's a lot of tests out there. Fraley, I believe, has one of the more well-known ones. But there's a quiz out there. I believe I also have one on my website, and I'll have to send that to you. But that's it's a quiz. The thing, though, with the quiz is it depends on what state we're in, too. If we're feeling secure, because attachment, we talk about it as styles. I think the research is more shifting to strategies and kind of what state we're in. Because all of us have secure parts of ourselves. All of us have secure experiences. And it's when we're insecure that we might lean towards more of these strategies or insecure strategies to try to get our needs met. And so while a quiz might be helpful, it might not really help us understand what style we are or why we're using those certain strategies. Does that make sense?
We'll be right back after this brief message.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
Yeah, it's something. You know, I used to hear a lot about love languages. Couples would come in with a love language book, right? The five love languages, which I think is fine. It's not one that I always, it's not my go-to. It's just not the top of my head because I think rather they're all important. But now, today, it's always about attachment. They're telling me about each other's attachment. You know what I mean? They're not speaking so much about their own. She has insecure attachment.
Right. And so here you see sort of the pattern is they're kind of going, if you could just be fixed, we'd all be okay. It's so much easier to say my partner's the problem or they're having this issue rather than to look in the mirror and go, how am I contributing to this? How am I showing up in this dynamic that's perpetuating this dynamic between us? And how do we work with whether it's ruptures from past relationships or even the current relationship to mend those and create a secure dynamic between us now?
Yeah. That healthy we starts with the healthy me, right? We like to say around here on the Stronger Marriage Connection. You warn couples about these particular negative patterns. And what does that pattern look like exactly? And how do we get out of it with as little damage as possible? And can you describe one of your couples where you successfully helped them do just that, Kyle?
Yeah. So kind of from the EFT lens, emotionally focused couples therapy lens, we really see, I mean, there's technically four patterns, but there's three that most people talk about. And Sue Johnson talks about this in her book, Hold Me Tight. There's what we call the protest POCA, which is what we kind of already talked about of one partner pursuing, one partner withdrawing. The more I pursue in a certain way, the more the partner withdraws and we get farther and farther apart. And then we have another pattern where we have two partners who might escalate in conflict. So one partner might come in and be really critical of like, you're never there for me. You don't even care. You blah, blah, blah. And the other partner goes like, what are you talking about? I've done all this stuff. Here's all this stuff I've done. And they get defensive and they just go back and forth and get bigger and bigger. Never actually getting to the heart of, I need you here for me and I am here for you. And then we have this third pattern where we have two withdrawers who are together. And they avoid conflict. They avoid some of the intimacy because even though they really care about each other, that, as they might say, feels like they're going to rock the boat. And so it's better just to keep these things with inside ourselves and not rock the boat. So we keep this calm connection. And so those are the three main patterns that show up in the relationships that I work with. And really the goal in the first stage of work, according to emotionally focused couples therapy, is to start to understand the pattern as the problem. And so what I would advise in terms of the first step is to start to look at owning, why am I doing this? Why am I a little bit pokey? Or why am I pulling away? What's my longing in that? What's my hope in that? And how can we start to name that to each other, right? I'm noticing I'm getting pokey because I'm really scared I don't matter. Would you be able to reassure me with that? Okay, I can maybe reassure you with that. That's, you're not getting pokey right now. You're telling me what you need. Also the drawing partner, right? I'm wanting to pull away because I'm really worried that this is just going to get worse. Can you reassure me that we're in this together? Yeah, of course we're in this together. That's why I'm bringing this to you because I want us to navigate this. I need you. Oh, wow, that's a different message. And so it's really looking at slowing down and looking at the pattern as the problem and understanding why we're doing what we're doing and trying to express much more of the attachment longing we have. And that's what secure partners do, is they go into more of, here's what I'm needing, here's what I'm longing for, because they have this experience of my needs are enough, I matter. And so it's so much easier for them to do that. Whereas people who have insecure strategies have that, go back to that question, am I enough? Can I depend on you? That answer sometimes has been no, or maybe not. And so they have these other protections that they bring into the relationship that causes, that actually gets in the way of what they want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Sue Johnson, that's just incredible. Didn't she discover this kind of through the MRI machines? Is that a part of the research?
Yeah, so that's a research study she did perform where she had partners go through an MRI machine, and right, going through that experience, it causes tension, it's a little anxiety provoking. And what they found is when they're holding their partner's hand, that actually causes the tension in the nervous system to regulate a little bit more. And so what that really tells us is the quality of our relationships can really impact our overall physical, physiological well-being. And that goes even into Gottman's research. I mean, Gottman did some research on, like, you know, when there's contempt, we actually see a lot more stress, a lot more illness, a lot more other things in the relationship that have impact in our physical well-being long-term.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. Kyle, we like your metaphor that describes how conflict is like fire, right? What's the difference between wildfire and, say, a bonfire when it comes to conflict?
Really, it comes down to, right, if you think about fire, right, if you go to touch fire, it burns you. Whereas when you're having a bonfire, it's contained. It's in one place, you're sitting around it, and you're getting kind of the warmth from it. And so that's kind of the same thing in conflict. When I'm working with couples, is when initially, when before they really understand that pattern, they kind of go after each other, burning each other, even though what they're wanting is warmth and connection. And so as they work on seeing that pattern, making that the problem, and starting to express the warmth they have for each other, it starts to contain that fire. And then it allows them to start to sit around that fire and enjoy the warmth of connection that comes from it. And so a perfect example would be pulling in a little bit of Gottman method, which is the State of the Union meeting, right? Whereas if we can proactively talk about what our issues are, our challenges are as a team, and how are we going to navigate it, we're containing things from getting bigger and blown up in the heat of the moment. And a lot of couples will often wait towards till the thing is there and then react, because it's like, this is going on, I can't trust you. And there's all these 10 other times this has happened, and this has to be dealt now. And all that urgency creates a lot more disconnection versus if we go, okay, we feel secure and going, yep, let's talk about this, or this is coming up, let's talk about it on Sunday, because I want us to figure that out. So that's kind of where that metaphor comes from.
Yeah, I love that.
And I like how you're specifying the state of our union, because typically, well, some camps are like, oh, don't do the state of the union because it's just going to be a gripe session, right? But you're very clear that this is about, here's what really went well this week. Here's what I love about you and what I appreciate about you. And it's also, where could we do better?
Right. And that's, and I didn't create this. This is coming from John and Julie Gottman. And that comes from this sense of, they want couples to know that they're friends and they have a strong friendship, which essentially is security and safety, which is the same thing that EFT is aiming at. And if we remind each other what we appreciate about each other, what we're doing well, we reinforce the friendship and security that allows us to tolerate some of the more difficult interactions we might be able to do and partner there. And so I really love kind of how John and Julie Gottman have framed that.
I do too. Ah, thank you for that reminder. What advice do you have, Kyle, for partners who are wanting to save their marriage? Let's say one of them is more motivated than the other person. The other person is really considering ending the marriage. Is there hope that even one person can change this marital dance and pattern?
I think it's worth trying. I mean, we do know that one partner, right, if you think it as a dance, if you're dancing on the dance floor, if one partner changes their moves, it's going to change the other partner, right? And so that doesn't mean it's going to guarantee that things will be different. But if we can own what's going on for us and own kind of doing things a little differently, it gives our partner a chance to experience us differently, which might be why they might be pulling away or in that hopeless place. right? And so if we're typically a pursuer who's wanting to have connection and we're the one fighting for the relationship and we're with a partner who's going, I don't know if I want to be here because it's not never calm. It's never safe. And it's better for me just to end this relationship because that's the best protection I have right now. That pursuing partner might have a chance of going, okay, again, why am I showing up in this kind of pokey way? What's going on for me? Well, I'm just really scared. How can I bring that to my partner? How can I validate that they're enough? How can I see their tries and guide them into showing up in a way that really meets also what I need too, and also being there for them? And so that's a huge way that typically the pursuers can kind of look at, okay, instead of being critical, how can I be a little bit softer with this? How can I, when my partner does something right, how can I explicitly name that and make it clear to them that I see their effort? I see them doing the good things, because that's often what gets missed in this dynamic. And it leaves the more withdrawing partner to go, why try if yes, I try all the time and it gets missed? Right.
Yes. Good point. Anything else you advise the pursuers? Because they are so anxious, right? I see this pattern probably more than I see any other pattern. At this particular time of my marriage practice, the pursuer and the withdrawer, and oftentimes it's the men really wanting to pursue after their wives. That anxiety is so great. What else do you advise of them to do? Do you advise them to pull back a little bit instead of, I love you, I want you, I need you, let's save this?
I think in some ways it's just pulling back a little differently, right? It's one, being in that more vulnerable place of like, I really care about you. I love you, right? You matter to me, and really trying to understand what is going on. Why are they pulling away? Right? You know, hey, we're this team. How can we do this together? I've been seeing you kind of pull away, and that really scares me. You know, I don't want that. And you told me that you don't feel like you're enough. So clearly what's happening between us isn't what I'm yearning for either. And it's yucky that you feel that way. Can we sit down and maybe talk about that? And I know that hasn't been good in the past, but I'm really trying to do this differently now because you do matter to me. That's a way to try to bring the partner back in to partnering, because the withdrawing partner is like, why would I come in when I'm just going to get poked, or I'm going to feel like, again, it's never enough. And that's the despair part that partner will have to work on in the couples therapy. And that's a way to sometimes pull them back in.
That's a great starting point. Beautiful. That.
Now, Kyle, we'd like to ask all of our guests the question, what do you feel is the key to a stronger marriage connection from your perspective?
For me, I think it's just being really explicit about our love and care for one another. I think in longer term relationships, particularly when we have kids and we have careers and all these stresses, is that friendship from Gottman language, as well as just the attachment bond, is we stop kind of really cherishing one another. And so it's making this intentional effort to like, hey, I love you, or I care about you, and really trying to even name that with actions we might do, right? So if I know you're having a bad day and I'm going to go get you your favorite restaurant food, I'm going to bring that back to you. And I'm going to say, hey, I went and did this because I really care about you, and I know you're having a hard time. I love you. Here you go. Enjoy this. Right. So we want to be very clear on, again, why we're doing what we're doing, and that it's coming from this place of love and care and support. And expressing that to one another.
Yeah, intentionality. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm writing this down because I love that. Being clear with self, not only just yourself, that why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. But with my partner, I'm doing this because I love you and I see you've had a hard day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I don't think I've ever really linked those two together, but I can see the power of them. You are so, again, so generous, Kyle, with your writings and your resources. Where can our friends most easily find you? And you work with couples online, is that right? But only in a couple states, I know how that works. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of us, how do we take advantage of your good mind?
Yeah, so I would just recommend going to my website, kylebenson.net. I think there's like over 200 articles there to help with conflict, emotional intimacy, a little bit about sex and connection. And so that's going to be a really helpful resource. And then I am licensed in both Washington State and Florida, probably be licensed in other states in the future. But if you're in those states and needing some help, feel free to reach out.
So I came from Washington. Would that count? Nope. I have to be living there now, huh?
You have to be living there now. Yep.
Very good. Good. Lucky for those people. But again, I have benefited so much from the writings that you have and this email, mass email group that you have. It's just a delight. So we'll be able to get on that email by going to kylebenson.net.
Yeah, that's great, Kyle. We'll put those resources, those links in our show notes for our listeners. Hey, Kyle, before we let you go, will you summarize for us a takeaway of the day? If you had one core message that you want to make sure our listeners remember from our discussion, what would that be?
Yeah, I really thought about this. I think it is really starting to look at what happens between us, because what I see, you know, Liz, even you talked about, I have these pursuers and withdrawers that show up in the office, is again, it's looking at why we're doing what we're doing, but both partners in these ways are trying to keep the relationship. And so if we can look at, even though these ways might feel like we're at each other's throats or we're kind of walled off, underneath those attachment strategies is a yearning to feel love and care, right? And there's a lovely quote I was reading earlier today of, we, even though we have these attachment needs that we might reach out for in unhealthy ways, the need to feel love and care and comfort is totally healthy. And so if we can see our partner's effort, even if we don't quite understand how it's supposed to make us feel loved and cared, but that they're fighting or they're showing up or they're doing the other things, and start to see that, that trying to be there for each other and seeing that, I find makes so much more of that tension get quieter and allows us to be a lot more vulnerable with one another.
Yeah, so powerful. Thanks, Kyle. Liz, what's your takeaway of the day from our discussion?
Wow. I agree with you, Kyle. I think even anger, right? It seems like angry people, that's kind of how they stay connected. They cease being angry and then there's really nothing. The fire dies out. So I think that's brilliant, that that pattern kind of is what keeps us together, not in a very happy way. So I guess we could recreate healthier patterns, yes?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
This pattern of love, care, and comfort. That's my takeaway. Dave, what's your takeaway with our time today here with Kyle Benson?
Yeah, I love that. Liz, I'm going to piggyback on that. I love that it's not necessarily a poor partner, but it's a poor pattern. And he all talks about this poking. That stepping back and recognizing it, hey, I think we want the same thing, but how we're going about it, man, we just get in these unhealthy patterns that we're, I think a lot of couples, they're just blind to, and then they don't know what to do. And so they keep doing, even if it's not working, they just keep doing what they know how to do. And it keeps them in this unhealthy cycle. So, man, the insights, Kyle, I think have been really helpful. And I just will just encourage, please go to Kyle's websites, check out these articles and help yourself in your relationship by information, because that can help you to see some of these patterns. And if you feel like you're really stuck, we are big fans of reaching out and finding a therapist, especially Kyle, you recommend those who are EFT, emotion focused therapy, or Gottman trained and have some of these kind of attachment type of background.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think emotionally focused couples therapy, right? I mean, ICEFT, which is a website, and they have a lot of, you can find therapists there. You know, what is it? The Gottman Referral Network is another one. I think it's really helpful to have someone be able to point out these patterns and help you see them, not only see where we're missing each other, but guide you on how to do it differently. A lot of us don't have that experience of how do I share what's going on for me? What even is going on for me? I'm just really angry and I don't know exactly why. And to have someone go, well, yeah, it makes actually perfect sense why you're so angry, because you're really worried that you don't matter. Can we talk about that? Oh, wow. And so having someone in your corner for both partners to change that dynamic is so powerful.
Yeah, and I would add, so important for the health of your relationship. So yeah, please don't hesitate to reach out for professional help if you feel like you are stuck in your relationship. Well, Kyle, thanks again, my friend, for joining us. We so appreciate your expertise and your time for sharing with us today.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lovely conversation.
Hey,
I'm going to keep reading everything you write, Kyle. So keep at it, my friend.
Yes, we are. All right, yes. My friends, that does it for us here at the Stronger Marriage Connection. Thanks for joining us. And Liz, take us away.
Well, remember, it's the small and simple changes that create a stronger marriage connection. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.